Thank you, brother. Okay. Great song. All right, the button's already pressed. Okay, good. The church say amen.
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 You know what I like about that song right there? The words of it are very, very powerful. You know, it says, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promises divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight. That's a whole lot of things this year that have failed miserably. Okay? Businesses has failed. Governments are, you know, at disarray. People's minds, opinions, beliefs, and thoughts are divided. Stores have failed to keep certain essential products. There's a whole lot of things that have failed this year, okay? But there's one thing that has not failed all year, and that is the promises of God, okay? Even though things have failed over and over in our lives, God's blessings have still been there. Because God's blessings are not predicated on the success of the world. God's blessings are because he loves us. Okay? But have you ever felt as if everyone is against us as Christians? Okay? As this pandemic is growing, there's a whole lot of people's faith is dwindling in the church. People who believe in God but don't come to worship. People are questioning God. Because we always have this constant expectation that if we believe in God, everything should always be going good in our lives. Why would a good God that loves us allow us to struggle? Okay, instead of saying, why would a good God not want me to be want me to be stronger without struggling? We need to change our perspective, okay? But in this life, with immorality spreading, does it feel like many people are against the truth of the Bible? Okay, there's a person in 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to spend a lot of our time in. Elijah felt the same in his day. In the time of Elijah, the nation of Israel was ruled by King Ahab, who did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, along with his wicked wife, Jezebel. All right, in fact, King Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the other kings of Israel that were before him. He led his people to turn to Baal because he listened to his wife, a pagan god, and rejected the Lord God as the one true God. The people of Israel were divided. The problem in Elijah's day is very similar to the problem today, in our day, is not so much that we have rejected God, but we have just made him a very small part of our lives. To a lot of people, even some in the church, God has become our Sunday God. He's our Sunday God. He's our church God. We put him in a little section of our lives, but not as the one true and only God. We worship him, but we also worship the other things. Things that we can worship, okay, is success. Not this success, okay, that's on the board. A different success, okay, earthly success. Financial achievement, popularity, and so on. Our lives get filled up, okay, with gods. And we try to share those gods with the one true God. But you cannot serve two masters. I know there's a verse in, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get to it. You know, just trying to set things up. I know y'all know the scriptures and stuff. We're going to get to it, okay? But we're going to go to the challenge that Elijah had in the beginning. So let's go to 1 Kings 18. We're going to actually start at verse 16. We'll start at verse 16. All right, we're going to find out what was Elijah trying to do. What was he trying to accomplish, okay? So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said, "It is you, the troubler of Israel." Okay? This is Ahab talking to Elijah. The troubler of Israel. But Elijah had to put him straight. "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commandment and now followed the Baals." Okay? "Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtoreth who eat at Jezreel's table." So he wants to have somewhat of a showdown at Mount Carmel. We're going to find out who is the one true God. Okay? We're going to find out. And the thing is, these types of things happen in our lives all the time. Okay? There are some here that are retired. There are some that still work. Nevertheless, we still have the same kind of three things that happen all the time. Okay? The three groups that's going to be on Mount Carmel. Okay? The one group is Elijah by himself. Okay? He's a lone prophet standing for God, the true and living God. The second group is the 450 prophets of Baal. Okay? Where God made in Exodus chapter 20. Okay? The first commandment that God gave to Israel was, "You shall have no other gods before me." They knew this. Ahab knew this as a king, and his son knew this. They all knew this commandment, okay? So by them saying, "It is you, the trouble of Israel," what is Elijah there for? Elijah didn't want to just come to show people their sins. At this point, he's trying to bring them back to God. He's trying to put them back in perspective. And this is something we need to do every single day. Okay, every single day we need to examine ourselves to see whether we're following God. Okay, we need to do this ourselves. We can do this in the mind, but this is something that Elijah is doing physically. Okay, and yet there are 450 strong standing in rebellion against God, the prophet of God, and that is Elijah. They are leading others to turn away from God and to worship the false god of Baal. Okay. And number three is the indecisive crowd. Those who are wanting to serve both God and Baal. All right. And these are the same kind of crowds that also exist today. The first crowd is the true servants of God, which always seem to be the minority. Okay. A lot of times with your friends, you're going to be the minority. All right. I have friends that are in the world, okay, and I'm the only Christian. The rest of them are in the world, okay? Some of them I still need to talk to about the gospel. I need to do that soon. And there are others that I did talk about the gospel, and they're now more acquaintances than friends. Because once you really give them the truth about the gospel and they know where you stand, sometimes they don't even want to be around you. Because when you show up, it's like you're Elijah. You're there to judge them and tell them what they are sinned at. And that's really not the case. It's just your presence. It's like an invisible light that's shining around you. And they know that you are going to be different. You're not going to do what they're going to do. Okay? And therefore, they cannot be comfortable around you because they think you're just there to judge them when it's not the case. Okay? I don't know if it's happening to you. Okay? But that's happening to me. You may make them uncomfortable. All right? So the indecisive crowd, well, the three types of groups for today, okay? True servants of God, there's only two times where God's people have been the majority. The first time was in the Garden of Eden. God's people the majority because it was only Adam and Eve, okay? We're the majority, all right? Guess what the second time was? Second time was after the flood, okay? Where you got Noah and his family. God's people were the majority. Guess what? Those are the only two times where God's people were the majority. Isn't that crazy? Okay? Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and then after the flood. Ever since then, we've been the minority. So this shouldn't be a guess. Okay? There's no wonder why the mega churches have so many members, because they include everyone, and they accept everyone, and they don't force you to change any kind of way, okay? Even God does not force you to change. He wants you to turn to Him, but He wants you to trust Him, okay, willingly, by choice, all right? All right, number two, the false prophets who were in open opposition to God, okay, against God, the same way today, Hollywood, the movie industry, the media, who try to seek to turn people from the faith of God and lure them to worship the flesh, okay? Have you ever seen someone, I can't really give a great example, but there are people that on social media, they will post a question about God, but they tell you not to use the Bible. They'll ask you a question about God. What do you think God thinks about this? Okay? All opinions are welcome, but try not to use the Bible. They want you to answer a question about God that's in the Bible, the God of heaven. But they don't want you to use God's word to answer what you think about. You know what they're trying to do? They want you to answer their question by your own belief system, not by what you believe in God in the Bible. This happens, okay? This happens. But if you are a Christian, okay, they expect you to not they expect you to not only answer, but they expect you to use the Bible. And then they'll say, I guess they can't think for themselves. That's what Satan wants you to do. Okay? That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to answer without using the Bible. Okay? You know what would happen if Jesus would have answered Satan while he was up on the mountain and all the things that, you know, if he didn't say it is written, it is written, it is written, don't you know there would be a good chance, okay, that Jesus may have said something that he wasn't supposed to say. Alright? But he knew God's word just as much as Satan knew God's word. He knew what he was supposed to say. But what Satan was doing is trying to twist God's word and from the saying something he wasn't supposed to say. Alright? He even used God's word against Jesus. Satan is very good at that. Alright? So that's the second kind of crowd is Hollywood, the social media thing that's going on. I'm not saying social media is Satan. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? But social media can get you in a whole lot of trouble by you being distracted about what you're supposed to do, if that makes sense, okay? All right, then there's number three. Then you have this halting multitude are those of trying to serve both, okay? Yes, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, all right? And this is something that I wanted to put out there. Don't let it be God you hate, because he's requiring you to make a choice. Don't do that. All right? If you love me, love me. Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments, holding on to one. Okay? You can't do both. If you love me, then keep my commandments. And what was the commandment? That you love one another as I loved you. All right? The reason why God wants you to just choose one, because he don't want you going halfway. He don't want you being this way and that way. He don't want anyone straddling the fence. He wants you to make a decision. Okay? So let's go back to 1 Kings or chapter 18. I know we're already there. Alright, so let's see. So verse 20. So Ahab went, Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, well, is God, follow him. Okay? Make a decision to choose who you're going to serve. This is a decision we got to make every single day. All right? And, you know, we shouldn't believe in situational ethics. We should not believe in that. All right? What that means is, if I need to, I'll lie. So I won't, you know, get in trouble. That's what you call situational ethics. While I was while I was taking the test for the government, there was a question that said, if you have to, would you lie so you won't have to keep, tell a secret? They made you answer. The right answer is to lie. Because if not, there's an espionage act that you will be committing if you didn't lie to a question. So that you couldn't even, there is no other way around it. They made you like say it. They made you put that answer on there. If not, then you wouldn't pass. So I'm like, that's so messed up. It's so messed up that I can't even pass this test without answering that question. I wanted to skip it. I'm like, admit it. You couldn't omit it. You had to go through it the way they set it up. Nope. It's crazy. But like I said, your government, our government will fail us. Okay? They change things around. They want to take amendments away. They want to reinstate the they want to reform the Constitution. There's all kind of things that they're trying to pull strings to change the very foundations that came from the Bible in our Constitution. Our Constitution is based on the principles of the Bible. But they're trying to change that around because the people up top don't believe in God the way we believe in God. So you can't put your trust in that. And that's stuff people watch every single day on the news. You cannot trust that stuff. The stuff is designed to keep you in the desert like the children of Israel was. Just spinning around and never making it to the promised land. Instead of believing in the one who's already in the promised land that's telling us, by the way, these things will happen. There will be wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and hurricanes and all this stuff. It's already been foretold thousands of years ago. But it's a different thing when you're living it. You can get tripped up. You can forget. That's why we need to be reminded, okay, of these things are supposed to happen. Okay? But as long as you can stay faithful and trust God and you can be there for other people, that's what we need. That's what we need to do. Okay? All right. Verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophet left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood. But don't set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you will call the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. All right? He's going to be God. So he's telling them what they need to do. All right? And which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, let me move on here. What Elijah's trying to do, he's trying to get them to come back to God and fully commit themselves. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them to fully commit themselves, okay? He want to put it to pieces because the 12 tribes of Israel, he's trying to put it into pieces, okay? All right. But in spite of what Jesus says, okay, there are multitudes who are trying to do just that of serving two masters, okay? The people on the fence are trying to have enough of the Lord to escape the judgment of hell while bowing and what they're living for, the other gods of this world. They are like those in the scripture who said they fear the Lord and worship their own gods. They want to do their own thing. They want to worship their own gods, but the real trouble rises, and they hope that God will be there to bail them out in the end. But you better hope that the real hour of need arises, because if a child, okay, is sick, okay, you're not going to be calling on these false gods to come and save you. You're going to be calling on the God of heaven, okay, to come and save you. That's the real, that's what's really going to happen, okay? But in Judges chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, you have forsaken me and served other gods, therefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen and deliver you in the time of your distress. Okay? People may play dangerous games with God and gamble, with their external destiny. Somehow they think that God will be always be there for them. They seem to forget that God has said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." So now we have God's spirit that is there to help us. Okay, so let's see, verse 24. Then you call the name of your God, and I will call the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. And all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. And they called the name of Baal from morning to noon. Okay, that's a long time. So you cannot say that these prophets were not zealous for their God. You cannot say they didn't have enthusiasm. Okay, you're going to see they're going to be doing some crazy stuff to prove that their God is God. Okay, but this is the craziest part. Who made the gods? Who made them? They made them. They made the God Baal. They made the God, and they're worshiping the God, and they fearing the God that they made. That's the crazy part. The things that we see as success and make their God, we make our gods, these are the same things we fear if we don't get it. But what Elijah's trying to do is, none of that stuff matters, okay? At the time, they were going through a drought. There had been no rain. There was a famine. And Elijah was the one that caused it, okay? I'm not saying God is the one that caused COVID. I'm not saying that. But God is the one that allowed COVID to happen. But what do you think he's trying to do with us? He could be trying to get us to go back to God the way things were a long time ago. Maybe he's calling us to go back to him, just like Elijah's calling the people to go back to him. 450 prophets, okay, of Baal. They have all this influence. But then you have this one man who's trying to persuade all these people that you just need to go back to God. This is what caused the drought in the first place. Your sins caused the drought. It was not me. I'm just doing what God told me to do. He gave me the word to say, you know, it shall be no more rain until I say, and he allowed it to happen. Okay? That's the same thing was going on with us in our own lives. God allows these things to happen for you to turn back to him. Okay? Did you know that disease, the root word of disease is two words? It's dis and ease. Dis-ease. You put them together, you get disease. That's the root word behind it, okay? The reason why there's so many sicknesses and there's so many people that all these cancers and all these things that happen in people's bodies, did you know the main reason why is stress, but the stress is caused by unhappiness. Did you know if you were happier, your body responds to that? Your body responds to the way you feel. That's why when you sometimes get sick, you're not hungry. You refrain from eating for hours, sometimes days at a time. Okay? When you stress out, there are times you can lose a whole lot of weight or you can gain a whole lot of weight. All right? It goes both ways. It's because you're stressed level. Or other people, when they're stressed out, they don't eat at all. But at the same time, they're not hungry. That's crazy how the mind works, huh? But when you're happy, everything is fine to me. It's like getting an oil change in your body. It can just operate the way it's supposed to. Okay? They did a thing a couple of days ago where this guy in China, he's 112 years old. And guess what he said the key to his health was? Try to be as happy as possible. That's it. He has no illnesses. He just tries to be happy. Now, is this person a Christian, a man of God? I don't know. But He said, by you stressing out is what can cause a whole lot of people to die sooner than they're supposed to. Okay? And this is why these people are turning away from God. Because some people see God as this big, strong man in the air just cursing people. Instead of the God of heaven that actually loves you and wants to be your everything. Okay? He wants to be closer to you than your own spouse. That's what God really wants. It is us holding on to things and trying to compromise him when there is no compromise with God. And that's a good thing. When you have someone that does not want to compromise with you because they know that I'm the best for you, not this other thing you're trying to share with me. And that's what they're trying to do. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay? All right. So, verse 26. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called the name of the Lord from morning until noon. Oh, Baal, answer us. They shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them, shout louder. Okay, so he's playing with them when they're really, really serious. All right? They have these prophets that are shouting and doing all these things. But there was no voice. No one answered. And Baal was a non-entity. You know why? Because Baal is nothing, okay? And nothing can do nothing. Nothing can't answer you and call out. There's nothing there because they made the gods. A lot of problems that we have, they're nothing. We create them. And they can go away as fast as you created them. These things that could be ailing you, they could be nothing, okay? But the way we look at it is completely different, all right? Let's say someone walks up. And you hear someone talking, right? And then as soon as you come to the scene, they stop talking. In your mind, you could be assuming they're talking about you. The fact is that they were talking before you got there. Okay? But the opinion is they were talking about you. You see how we create things in our minds? Okay? Because they stopped talking when I got there. It's the same thing here. All right? But the gods that they created, they don't do anything because, of course, they're not real. And Elijah taunting them, surely he is a god, perhaps deep in your thought or busy traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and he must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as was their custom. And blood flowed. Okay. They're slashing them. I don't know where, but blood was gushing out. Now that takes some enthusiasm, right? Didn't that take some kind of energy to do certain things? Has God ever asked us to do certain things to prove our love to him? Never. But you see what happens when we try to make up our own customs and stuff? This is what happens to us. All right? So they shouted louder and slashed themselves. Okay, I read that. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophecy until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones. For each of the stones, the tribe descended upon Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord and dug a trench around the large enough to hold the two says of wood. And arranged the wood and cut it, the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said to them, fill large jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again. And he said, and they did it again. And then do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it again a third time. He wanted to make sure that trench was drenched in water. Drenched in water. The water ran down an altar, even filled the trench. And at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. This is what we need to do. Okay, there's a song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the world needs now is prayer and fasting. That's what the world needs. That's what we need to do. Okay, We need to be praying and fasting. And God will send us a cure for this stuff that's going on. We need to do a whole lot more of that. Okay, what Elijah's doing right here, when he prayed for the rain to come, we need to do a whole lot more for them. Okay, what does the Bible say about the prayer of the righteous? Okay, the prayers of the righteous availed much. Okay, that's what we need to start doing. All right, I lost my place. This is what happens when you're using a different Bible that's not yours. Dang it. What verse did I leave at? Okay. 36? Okay. At the time, Lord, the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped down for it and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, O answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that are turning their hearts back again. That's what he wants us to do. Okay? We may not be able to turn the world back again. Okay? And that may not be a bad thing, because the Bible tells us not to long for the good old days. But what God has been trying to do since the beginning of man is turning his heart back to God. Jesus sacrificed his body on a tree to turn our hearts back to God. That's what we all need to do, okay? Is turn our hearts back to God. I'm not judging saying your hearts are turned away from him, but we need to turn our hearts back to God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones of the soil, and they licked up the air and also licked up the air and the trench, and all the people saw this and they fell and prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let none of them get away." Now, that was a loving and trying to get their hearts back to God, Elijah. I'm not going to go to the other side of Elijah, okay? Because the other side of Elijah wasn't so nice, okay? I'm not going to get to that part. I'm going to go to what he hit the sole purpose of being on Mount Carmel was to show them that even still to this day, the Lord, He is God. I know all of you guys know that, but you need to say it yourselves, okay? You need to say those words sometime, okay? Because by knowing it is one thing, but by saying it, for some reason, it has so much more confirmation, okay? And Jackie reminded me of this, okay, is it's different when you say it. When someone says, you know, you love me? Yeah, you know I love you. Saying it, it means more. Even when they know you do, saying it sometimes means more. When God says, Jesus said, the Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. But guess what? He still wants us to ask. Even though He already knows, He still wants us to ask. So even though we know God is there for us, sometimes we need to say it. We need to say it out loud. Okay? I don't know what it does, but for some reason it does something. Okay? And it's not just hearsay. Okay? It's way more than that. Alright? So I have 4 points I want to make here towards the end here. Alright? From Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Number one is all religions are not the same. Okay? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Okay, that means that there's not many ways into heaven. There's only one way. All right, number two, activity and enthusiasm are not always signs of spirituality. There's no doubt that the prophets on the Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal displays a lot of enthusiasm and activity. on the mount. They were sincere in their efforts, but how many of you know you can be sincerely wrong? Mount Carmel proved that powerfully. Okay, like Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do it the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So enthusiasm and how you're going about how you, do spiritually isn't enough to say that you're doing the right thing. There's a whole lot of people that do things in activity that sounds like you're doing the right thing, but, you could be making a mistake. Okay, number three, faith can be misplaced. Faith is not the important thing that may strike you as odd or blasphemous statement, but faith is not paramount, is the subject of faith that is the most important thing. Okay, it's the object of faith is the most important thing. The people that followed Baal surely had faith, but they had their faith in the wrong thing. Okay, you can have faith in the wrong thing. They worship this God all their lives, the God they created. They believed in Baal, the Baal they created. They had faith in Baal, but their faith was worthless because the object of their faith was worthless. Does that make sense? Okay, the object of your faith needs to be God, and God is not an object. God is. Very, very big difference. Okay, number four, the faith you live by better be good enough to die by. Okay, the faith you live by needs to be good enough for you to die by. If your faith doesn't bring you hope and help and you in a crisis, it's not much value to you. God built up the faith in Elijah and the quietness of the brook and the confines of a widow's home and walking in the wilderness. So when he needed his faith in the big moment, he drew a line in the sand and chose a side. His faith came through because he only trusted God more than himself. Okay? That's why the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. The Bible says us to trust God. I know I sit y'all all over the place. But the truth, what I'm really trying to make home is, okay, there will be times where it will look like you're the only one that understands you. Like no one knows what you're going through. No one understands you. Okay, but that's not true. Even when it's just you and it feels like against the world, you're not really alone. Like Jesus says, I'm not alone. But he who sent me is with me. That's how you always need to be. It doesn't matter how bad things look. And things are pretty bad. Okay. California is again a red state. The cities and Nevada is red. You can't really travel much. Things are not looking too good. But like I said earlier, God knows the ending. Okay, from the beginning. Alright? And all we need to do is put our trust and faith in him. I said it like 1,000 times. But these are times where people are depending on us. That's why I'm saying that. All right? People are going to be saying to you very soon, if they have not said it already, pray for me. Okay? My family's going through a whole lot. That's happening where I'm at. Almost every week, someone is saying, please pray for me. All right? You may not even talk to them about God a whole lot. But they know something about your life. Enough to where they know that you're a Christian and you are a praying person. Alright? Does anyone here today that want to put Christ on in baptism? Alright? You've heard God's word. All you have to do is believe it. Okay? Repent of your sins. Confess that Lord is God. And be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Does anyone here that want to put Christ on in baptism may do that right now if you stand and sing the Savior's Invitation song.